Y'all still want the word? Amen. Father, we thank you for your word. I ask you to think through my mind, speak through my mouth, that your people be edified, you be glorified after hearing the word of truth. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Father, I decrease that you may increase. I ask for utterance. I ask for the anointing. I ask you to do what only you can do, God, and do it at a high level. And Father God, I give you all praise, glory, and honor for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Romans. Go through a few scriptures real quick. Romans 15. I'm going to read one and then we'll go to some other places. Amen. Going to be slightly different. I feel like my assignment today is just to encourage people. I'll go back to what I've been talking about. But I think this still fits in what we've been ministering and talking to you about, or trying to talk to you about. And we're in an incredible season, whether you think so or not. We're in a, and when certain words hit your hearing, you should gravitate to it. You should gravitate to it. Romans 15, 13. And it says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. Joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. You can have your seat. May the God of all hope fill you with joy and peace in believing. So there is this connection between your believing and having joy and peace, meaning that when the situation is bad, that's the time when you got to believe God. When you don't see it happening, that's when you have to believe God. When everything is against you, the only way you maintain joy, and joy is synonymous in many cases for strength, and you maintain your peace where you're not walking the flow all night long, is that you have this belief that no matter what's happening now, it's going to work out for my good. Say, it's going to work out for my good. Isaiah 40 says this, in 31, it says, but they who wait for the Lord, what happens, shall renew their strength. Now, we read that. We read it like he's renewing our strength. But it reads, but they that wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. So how do you renew your strength when you deplete it? How do you renew your strength when you're down? How do you renew your strength when all hope seem to be gone? You find a way by believing God to continue to hope on. When all else is lost in your life and not going right, you have to find something to believe God for. Now, this is important, because the prayer, having a prayer life, sometimes God just gives you an inkling, or having the right kind of relationship with God, he just gives you, you just have a knowing in your spirit. You don't know how, you don't know when, you just know God. Yeah, anybody ever been there? You don't know how, you didn't know how it was going to work out, you didn't know when it was going to work out, you just knew God. And because you knew God, God would give you these unctions. He'll give you these things in your heart to let you know, stop tripping, it's going to work out. Tell somebody that, say, stop tripping, it's going to work out. Say, stop tripping, it's going to work out. Now, how you know when people tripping? They don't brush their hair. They don't do nothing. They don't want to clean up. Somehow they find a way to eat, though. Most people find a way to eat, but they don't want to do nothing else. They don't want to watch. They don't even wash the dishes no more. They don't want to go outside, right? They don't want to answer the phone. They text, though. They be on their Facebook. But they don't want to answer the phone. What's happening to them? They're allowing the devil to steal their hope somehow. Now, we spiritual creatures, right? Some of us are. Now, if you're a spiritual creature, that means that you're human. So when I'm going to ask you again, if you're not a human, then you're a primate. We humans, right? Okay, so you got a body, soul, and a spirit. Animals only have two. So they don't go to heaven. So they all this business, all dogs go to heaven. Ain't no dogs going to heaven. Because people don't clean up behind the animals. No, I'm kidding. But ain't no dogs going to heaven. You're going to be there, though. Say, I'm going to be there. So when you look at 1 Peter, smile, y'all, because some of y'all looking like you deep, and you're not deep at all. I didn't talk to you. 1 Peter 1 and 3. You got to find a way to keep believing, because this year is new. I say this year is too fresh. 9 months is a long time to be living without a breakthrough. Are you following me? And so you don't want to, you know, you don't want to make what you said and what you start believing in January be a New Year's resolution. They don't work. At least people try, but they don't work. What you want is that you want to hear something from God that you can get some faith from. You can get hope built back up in you, that you can get your strength back, that you can stay in a mode of being joyful and joyous. He says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to what? His great mercies, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope. What's a living hope? A living hope, watch this, living hope puts you in a mindset and it trains you to transition and live at different levels. Meaning that you don't get satisfied with where you at because you got 80 more years down here. You don't get comfortable. I've learned something this week that, like, most of the time, the guy used a word for, like, hospice. And he was explaining how with hospice and things along those lines, it kind of translate into something that's attributed to a person who's at the end. And all they want to be is comfortable. All you can do is make them comfortable. But you got a lot of life. You don't want to be comfortable. You want to be aggressive. You want to be that person who goes after everything that God has you. And every time the devil tells you no or try to stop you, you in the Holy Ghost figure out a way to get it done. Say, I'm going to figure out how to get it done. Say, the Holy Ghost going to help me get it done. What's happening in the lives of many believers is that they're in, even though they got 50 years left, Sister Brooks, they in spiritual hospice. All they want to be is comfortable. All they want is a cush life, but they don't want to go after, say go after it. They don't want to go after the things that they should be going for at that level in their life. So they explain it away. God don't care about that. God don't care, but you should care about it because you in the land of the living. God don't do it for everybody, but he does it for enough people that should inspire us to say, go get your blessing. Say, go get your blessing. You have to go get it. When you won't change, you don't sit back and you just assume that something miraculous is going to happen, because sometimes the miracle is being worked through your hands. Sometimes the miracle comes out as you cooperate with God, and no matter what's happening in my life, if I'll keep moving with God, how many know if you'll keep moving with God, it'll turn around after a while. People tap out of good marriages because they don't want to put the work in. They quit lucrative jobs because they get tired. They leave great churches because, somebody preached a bad sermon. It wasn't me, though, whoever did it. But they leave a good church because they heard one bad sermon. Say, you should hang around. Mm-hmm. Did I read that? He says, according to his great mercies, he's caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Christ from the dead. Now, let me give you one more and then we'll go somewhere. Colossians 1:27. And I'm not going to rush. I can't even tell you I'm going to be up here long, but I'm not going to rush. We'll see what y'all want. See, but sometimes when people don't like what you're preaching, they want to talk to you afterwards. I don't want to talk to you. This your word. You should listen right now. Yeah, if they don't like a kid, you know, they ask, you cook? Y'all do it at y'all house. We don't do it at our house. What they get when we cook, bae? What we cook. Let me see if I got something else up here. Nope, this is what I cooked. This is all you're going to get. So don't run up on me. This is all you're getting today, all right? Then we'll go back. I'm just telling you, because I'm going to preach and let people just do them any kind of way. Colossians 1:27, it says, to God, to them God chose to make known his great amongst the Gentiles of the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is, this is what you got to get. Christ is in you. There's no way you should be depressed. There's no way. The hope of glory is in you. Christ is in you. There's no way that you can believe that you're going to be down and out forever. Christ is in you. Jehovah Jireh is in you. How you going to be broke till you die? Christ is, say, Christ is in me. This is revelation. You got to get this. I'm trying to get this in your spirit. That because you got to have faith and some hope to what God's trying to do for you in this hour. Christ is in you. You can't be sick like that. You can't die like that. Say, I'm not going to die like this. Christ is in me. Christ is the game changer. If you get born again, this is the beginning of your victories. Thanks be unto God who gives you the victory, always calls it changes your outlook on life. God's trying to change some people's outlook on life. You're not too old. You're not too dumb. You're not used up. You're not washed up. You still got, say, Christ is in me. You're not going to die like that. You're not going to be sick like that. You're not going to have to hide your struggles and act like you one way. Christ's going to deliver you. Christ's going to deliver you. Christ is in you. You should have a hope that it's going to change. Any minute now, any day now, God can change it. You want to run off and leave people? You want to walk away from them because they're having a hard season in their life? Yes, they done you wrong. Christ, they got born again. Christ is in them now. Give them a chance to straighten out their life. So you watch this. He says he's in you. He is the hope of glory. How many know that God getting ready to change your season? How many believe that? No matter where you at right now. And sometimes we always think that God has to take us from worse to better. Sometimes God can take you from better to better. Sometimes God will just increase your level. You ain't always got to be down and out for God to move in your life. It don't minimize your testimony because you wasn't in the gully like everybody else and God had to take them from worse to better, but you was already in better and God took you from better to better. Some of you finna go from better to better, from increase to increase, from level to level. You ain't got to apologize because you didn't have to come as far as other people had to come to get up. That means that God was in your life the whole time. That means you was listening to God somewhat way before you got into this level of living. Say, everything is getting ready to change for me. That's what we're going to be talking about today. It's time for a change. Say that three times. It's time for a change. I'm going to tell you, it's time for a change. You don't want to get stuck in one place in God. I don't care if he's good to you right there. You don't want to get stuck there. Because what happens, even if you get stuck at a place where God been good to you, what starts happening to you? You don't use faith no more. The just got to live by faith. That's why you don't want to be comfortable, because when you're comfortable in a place, you don't have no need to use faith. You cut God out your life. And so people say, my life is good. My life is good. Yeah, but God want to be, say, he's better than good. He wants to be better than good to you. Ain't nothing wrong in my marriage right now. Yeah, but God want to do things in your life to make you better than good. He's the God of increase. He's the game changer. He don't want you to ever get comfortable just being in a place where you don't live by faith. You cut God out. And how many know that God don't want us to cut him out? He wants to be a part of your life until death do you part in this life. He can receive you in the next life. He never wants you to stop depending on him. Go to Genesis 1. Say, it's time for a change. Mundane living and thinking. boring devotion, worship. Now, you don't have to experiment and do nothing crazy. I'm just simply saying some of us ain't never been behind the veil. That's not no put down. At least you see it. That means that you can get behind that. That means that you don't have to allow other people to go behind and then come back and tell you what he said. No, there's a place in you that God is trying to take you that he can allow you to experience, say a new level, experience him at a new level. And he doesn't want us always living mundane worship lives, believing lives. But when you're not believing him, then you're not believing at all. If you're not believing in God, then what are you believing in? Nothing that's going to be predictive. So he says in verse 111, God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed. This is what he said. The fruit trees yielding fruit after its kind, whose seed is in itself and it's upon the earth. And it was so. Say it was so. It was so. And the earth brought forth the grass, just like he said, the herb yielding seed after its kind, just like he said, the tree yielded its fruit, just like he said, whose seed was in its kind, after his kind, and God saw that it was good. See, don't let people minimize you because your life don't look like their lives. God created you, and everything God created was good. Say, I'm good over here. We made mistakes. Everybody made mistakes. Everybody done. Now I ain't talking about before you got saved. I'm talking about since you've been saved. Say, but what God created is good. Now, if you believe that God created you and you good, you know that God creates nothing without potential. All the seeds have potential. You got a seed deposited in you by the Holy Ghost, and then he gave us the seed of faith. You can grow that to shape your life. If you're comfortable with it, I'm comfortable with it. If you're comfortable with it, God comfortable with it. What do I mean? He won't do it for you, brother. He's given us this seed of faith that we can mature it, and no matter what happens in this life, no matter how the devil done put his feet, God's taking the devil's feet off somebody's throat even as I'm speaking. No matter how tight the devil had his feet on your throat, you coming up off and under that. You coming up off this frail mentality that nobody can lead you, because anytime you try to lead somebody, you have to correct them. But every time they correct you, you have a meltdown. But they're trying to tap into the potential in you. You're not going to stay down forever. You're coming up out of that. You take there's a strength that's coming to you this morning that if you receive what the Lord is saying, say, my life is changing three times. God said, let there be lights in the firmaments of the heavens to divide them from the day and the night. He said, let them be signs. Watch this. This is where I was going. Let them be signs and for seasons, and for days, and for years. Do you know God is the only person that can create a season that lasts for years? That's why you shouldn't always change up. You shouldn't be looking all the time for a new word every year. Sometimes it's a continuation of the same, but it's not the same. He's trying to take you to a new level. He was good to you in 2023. He's going to be better to you in 2024. He was good in January, but God can top that. Your marriage has improved, but it ain't where it should be. He can improve on that. You still have your low moments where you get depressed here and there, but not like you used to be. God can improve on that. You get close to the red sometime in your bank account, but at least you ain't broke. You got enough to do what you need to do. Say, God can improve on that. So why is this important? You have to know when it's time for a change in your life. Anybody ready for a change? Because there's some times in our life where there ain't nothing seriously wrong. We just need a change. Ladies, y'all know what I'm talking about? Because I know you do, because like every other week, y'all hair changed. Nothing wrong with that. He says, I'm so shady, I'm throwing shade. I'm not showing shade. No, I'm showing you how you can go to another level. I'm not, that was no put down, right? But you can go to a different place in God, say it's time for a change. So seasons let you know when you need to do certain things. So I talked about gathering, right? You need your 3 to 6 months. You might have to work an extra job to get it. Okay? I can't tell you when you're going to need it. You're going to need it. And I don't want people hurt because you may be one of the 5 foolish when you should have been one of the 5 wise virgins, and people may not give you the oil. But I'm telling you, this season is changing for you so that you can gather what, say, gather it up, so that you can gather up what you need. So you might have to put in a little extra time, but at least you got it. And it's like this, when you get what God wants, it's like, whoo, it's like a relief come in you, and you just breathe better. You can, some of you getting ready to breathe better. This going to be where you're going to be able to breathe better. So you got to know this, that without seasons changing, you can become frustrated. Anybody ever been frustrated just in? Nothing was wrong. That was a clue for God saying, I'm trying to change your season. Mm-hmm. Your prayer life, what you used to do, that was enough. It ain't enough no more. Well, God is trying to change your season. Reading the word, it used to be good enough. You could get it by going a few days a week. You can't, how many can't do that no more? Because your season is changing. And if you'll embrace this, you'll know that God is letting this stuff take place in our life because he's not abandoning us. Go to Romans 8 for me. Romans 8, because he ain't abandoning his people. How many believe that? He said to tell somebody that prepare for God to move with you. He's going to move you out of darkness to a better place of spiritual visibility, a place of light. So he's talking to me because you done survived that dark period. Now, nobody wants these periods. Nobody likes pushing the time forward because you got to get up one day early. Look at your neighbor and say, don't be so lazy. You need to get on the altar. But that extra hour gives us more light to function. What am I saying? You're about to get more spiritual visibility so you can function. So that you can do what you need to do in this hour. I wouldn't waste my time, though. I said I wouldn't waste my time. When he's creating these seasons, because it's going to go back after a while, and then you won't be able to do what you can do right now. Say, do it right now. It's time for a change. Tell somebody, it's time for a change. It's time for your life to change. Do it right now. So it's like when it's time for you plant it, you got to anticipate when it's time to harvest. Like, it's interesting, right? I've literally sown seeds for years for this period. Years. No. Things that I could have used. We could have used it. But you know, it's something that was on the inside of me to tell me it's working. Just keep doing it. Now, the mistake people make, Mother, is this. Once it starts working, they stop working it. Mm-hmm. Is this too simple? Once a person, so I've told people, you came here with nothing. God started blessing you. Why would you undo that? You came here, you was almost borderline divorced. Why would you look for another church or another preacher? God done saved you financially. God done saved you mentally. God done saved you. God done saved your marriage. Keep working what he's working, even when you feel like you're out of that period of your life, because he's trying to do what? What is he trying to do? He's trying to take you from better to better. He's trying to take you from better to better. Why would you go back? Why would you start searching for something else and God has been good to you? Has God been good to anybody up in here? Why would you go looking for something else and what's working is working, but you're frustrated and bored because God is saying it's time for a change? This is good to me. I'm preaching to myself. It's time to go to another level in God. It's time for you to change up. It's not to forsake what you got where you're at. It's so God can take you, say, it's time for us to go up. So in Romans 8, he says, 8:28, put that up there for me. He says, all things work together for the good to them that love the Lord and are called according to what? All things. Just the good things. Just the things you like. All things work together for. Do you know you can miss season where God is developing your character because you reject the place in the things that he's doing to you in a season of your life? You can miss character impartations because you won't let God work on you in a season. He was doing it in the dark. He wasn't trying to let nobody else see. Your season changed and he was still working on you, and now it's light. Now people see what he was trying. Say, fix it in the dark, Lord. He was trying to fix it behind closed doors. Even if he allows it to be seen by everybody, what should you do? Should you deny it? Should you act like it's not happened? Should you make excuses about it? You should just own it, because he's making all things work together for your good. He don't bring good out of evil, but he makes it work for you. He makes what has been sent to bring you down, let you go at a season, and God says, I was chiseling you. I was working on you. I was shaping you. You wasn't going to learn no other kind of way, but say, at least I'm changed right now. I'm in a different season of my life. And it was because we didn't reject the season that we didn't think we needed, nor did we even want in our life, but God was taking us through a season of change. Watch this, even though it was hurting you, even though it was causing you to walk the floor, even though you felt like you was going to lose your mind, but you didn't lose your mind. God was working on you. He was. Anybody glad that you changed, that you're not the same? I'm glad I'm not the same. Because my mind is creative, and I don't hold grudges. I didn't grow up holding grudges. I grew up getting people back. Ain't no sense in me thinking about what I want to do to you. You just say, don't do this, don't do this. I would just do it. I thank God that I'm changed. Because I wouldn't be thinking about it, because I still think about some stuff today. But I think that the Holy Ghost is a keeper, and he'll keep you when you've been changed, because you won't go back to the same junk. See, I know I've been changed. I know I've been changed. You know, I told my wife, I said, police can be some of the most corrupt, vile people on the planet. They some of the biggest liars on the planet, because they have a scope of unlimited power. So they don't feel like they can be worked on. They want to work on everybody else. They don't feel like nobody has the authority to tell them nothing. They pass you. You speed it and they pass you. Because they got character. They rejected seasons where they should have been worked on. I'm advising somebody, if God is working on you, whether it's dark or light, he's changing you. You should take it. You should accept it. if he's breaking up, if he's separating you from people that's always brought you down, he's changing your life. You should accept that. You shouldn't be trying to make peace with people that God is separating you from. You should just go on listening, just say, let's make a clean break. God is changing me. I can't go with you no more. I can't hang with you no more. I can't talk with you no more. I can't drink with you no more. I can't smoke with you no more. I can't sleep with you no more. I ain't fighting with you no more. Let's just go on and make a clean break. I'm going the way that God want me to go. I ain't gonna say I ain't dealing with you no more. God is changing me. I ain't worrying about you no more. God is changing me. I'm not coming back over there no more. What's happened to you? God has changed you. And when the Lord sets you free, you got to fight to maintain your change. I say when God makes you free, you can't allow yourself to slip up. You got to guard your thinking. You got to guard your heart. You have to guard your mouth. You have to guard where you go. You got to go. You got to monitor the direction by which you travel sometime. Some roles will take you back in your life that'll open up the same doors that you was fighting like hell to close. Some ways you don't go no more. Some people you don't allow to text you no more. Some people you don't email no more. Say, the Lord is changing me. And you have to know when you're in a season of change. Because you can be struggling to hold on to something that God is fighting. He's not fighting the devil. He's fighting us sometimes to let go. God is trying to pry it from you, and you trying to take it from the Lord. You trying to hold on to it, and the Lord is saying, let it go. Let it go. This is the Lord. This is the Lord. Let it go. But you say, no, I want to hold on to it. Tell somebody, say, let it go. If you will let it go, God will give you what belongs to you in this level. He'll give you, a lot of times we fight over stuff that ain't even ours, stuff that don't even belong to us. People fight over men and women that's married to somebody else. Say, let it go. He didn't want you. He knew that you didn't know that he was married. Say, let him go. And when you let it go, God will give you what belongs unto you. So, he says, some of us are coming out of trouble, seasons of trouble. You coming out of seasons of lack, out of sickness, these bad relationships. You coming into a place where the Lord is going to show you that he found you. You didn't find him. That you know, there's some places, times in your life, you're not looking for God. You're looking for what you want. You're looking to do it the way you want to get it done. And the Lord is saying, I'm trying to stop. Say, stop resisting the Lord. He's trying to change your season. I had to share with somebody, never go back from a place where you was in bondage and the Lord delivers you from. Watch this. And don't let nobody from that place move with you. Because they transport that mentality to you. What did he say? When God deliver you from a place that you were in bondage, you never go back to that place, and you don't let the devil bring people from that place to your new space of deliverance, because they got the same mentality and they'll set you back in a new location. Say, the Lord is changing me. They'll set you back in a new location, and God has said, I just freed you from that. I just got you out of that. Why would you allow them to bring that mentality? Say, I know I've been changed. Say, I know I've been changed. He said, you're in a season of change, and this season, it's going to be powerful for the people of God. You got to get ready for it. The Holy Ghost is saying, we need to get ready for something. You should get ready for this. You should embrace this. You shouldn't be looking back and questioning what God just took for you. Say, I'm going to let it go. I'm in a season of change, and I'm going to praise God. Even though I don't know what's happening right now, I can sense he's doing something. Say, let it go three times. Let it go. Come on, tell somebody, it's time for a change. It's ministry change. It's financial change. It's marital change. It's business change. It's career change. It's physical change. It's mental change. It's emotional change. Tell somebody, say, it's time for a change. I'm going to my next place in God, with you or without you. See, a lot of times people make the mistake that Moses made. Moses could have actually made it to the promised land. He said, I'm not going to go. If they don't go, I'm not going to go. And when he could have got in, he didn't go. And then they wind up tripping Moses up, making Moses sin against God. And then Moses got blocked out of a blessing that he could have went in had he just let certain people go on ahead and trust the Lord, that the Lord would get them out when he want them out. But at least I'm free. Eyes free, eyes free, eyes free. You could have came out because the Lord was dealing with you like he was dealing with me, but you didn't want to let go. Tell somebody, say, I'm out, I'm out, I'm out, I'm out, I'm out. I'm going to keep on screaming until you get out, but I'm not coming back. Say, I'm out. I'm not running back to get you. I'm out. I'm going to drop some rocks, but I ain't coming back. Say, I'm not coming back. I'm not coming back. So the Spirit of the Lord said that many of us are doing things. Watch this. I don't know who this is for. He said, you're doing things that you used to love, but you don't even care about it no more. Don't ignore that. He said, you're doing things that you used to love, but you don't even care about it no more. It's time for a change. You used to love it. It's time for a change. You don't like it no more. You hate it. Say, it's time for a change. You used to love it. You used to enjoy getting up. You used to... But now you don't. He says, I've been trying to tell you to let it go. Say, let it go. It's time for a change. You've been trying to stir these relationships up. He done got you out of it. You still trying to be good with him, but y'all used to be connected. And no matter how much you talk to him now, it's just like y'all off somewhere, and you still trying to prime that relationship back. And God is saying, you feel that way because you should be letting it go. Say, let it go. It's time for a change. If God has separated you from them, you ain't got to keep answering them no more. Don't let them stay hooked when the Lord say detach. I say, don't let them stay hooked when he is saying detached. Say, I'm in a season of change. I don't know about you. He is altering the order of things for some of us. That's what change is about. That's what this is about. This is why he gave it to me. He's altering the order of things for you. I don't know if nobody else wants this. I want this. I want this. He's altering the order of things for you. He's changing it. Now, why would God have to do that? Why would God have to alter the order of things for us? Because sometimes we got the pain and we're sick because we abused our body. So we really deserve sickness. God is altering the order to heal you. Why would God have to alter? Oh, this is so good to me. Why would he have to alter the order economically for you? Because you have been horrible with your money over the years, but the Lord is going to make you the head and not the tail. He got to alter the order for you. Why would God have to alter the order for you? Because you should have been divorced 10 years ago, if the truth be told, but the Lord kept him around until he changed you so that he could change the person. The Lord has altered the order for you. Why would God have to alter? Somebody should get what I'm talking about today. God is altering the order for you to change your season, because really we deserve to be where we at, but the Lord wants you to be someplace else. Somebody should give the Lord a praise. Somebody should praise the Lord. He wants you there, not back there. He wants you up and not down. He wants you in and not out. Say, the Lord is altering the order for me. It's when God shifts you from one state or condition to another condition. It's when God puts a stop, watch this, to something that the enemy is doing to you and tell him no more. Do you remember when David had numbered the people of Israel and it was a sin against God? And God asked him, hey, David, what you want me to do? David said, I don't care what happened. Just don't turn me over to my peers. What do you want me to do? I want you to judge me, God. I'd rather take it from you than to take it from a man. Do you know why? Because oftentimes men don't know how to be merciful. They came out the same thing you came out of 2 years ago, and now they talking crazy about you. They was doing the same junk that you was doing 4 years ago, and now they talking about you. But they won't be merciful to you, but they wanted God to be merciful to them. And David has this revelation. He says, watch this. I don't trust the mercy of men. I don't trust you to be good to me or to stop. See, that's why, okay, maybe you'll understand because you didn't understand that. But maybe, you know, you understand this. You ever whooped your kid? Your mama ever whooped you? Hand me that right there. Hand me that fan right there. Stand right here, right? Your mama ever whooped you? Huh? Maybe your daddy. Oh, y'all black? I thought black people whooped their kids. But your mom and dad are whooping to you, and they talking to you the whole time. They whooping you. They whooping you. Do you understand? Say, yeah, Desmond. Say, I understand, Desmond. I understand. Say, tell me yes, I understand. Say it, you understand. Tell me. Because they telling you what to tell them. So they whooping you, and they done broke you, and you crying, but they keep whooping you. Why they keep whooping you? Because it wasn't that they was trying to correct you. They was trying to satisfy a need in them. Sometimes people won't be merciful to you because they feel like they the judge and the jury and they God and they want to be, when they satisfied, then they say it's over. And David says, I don't want no man to judge me. I don't want no man. And David is out there and that death angel comes through, sister, and he is slaying David's men. He's killing thousands in minutes. And David go, watch what David does. David goes down in the Lord. Say, go down in the Lord. Some of us need to humble ourselves. If you will humble yourself, God will pick you up. And you still down because you will not acknowledge that you did things to get there. You won't acknowledge the fact that God, only you can get me up out of this situation. And God said, okay, until you acknowledge that, you're going to stay right there. And David goes down in the Lord. Say, go down in the Lord. Go down in the Lord. David goes down in the Lord and start interceding for the people of God. Watch this. I'm gonna tell you how much of a man of God David was. David was in no threat of being killed. David was in no threat of being killed. God was not finna kill David. So the heart of a true leader and a person that's connected with God is they won't be good while you doing bad. It's not affecting David. He's not going to die. See, a lot of times we don't want to intercede for the group because we're good at our house. We won't pray for our neighbor because we're good over here. Say, we're good over here. That don't mean that you stop caring when other people are being punished. Something about humanity, the way God made it, when that person is yielded unto God, they will not sit back and watch you suffer. I've seen men watch their wives cry. It didn't even move them at all. It didn't even move them until she moved out because he wasn't connected to her pain. As long as he was good, he didn't care how much she hurt. And if that's you, you need to repent and ask God to stop this from happening to us. And when David starts interceding for them, God stops the death angel from killing off things that David was a participant in. What am I saying? God is about to show some of us some crazy mercy. He's trying to show some of us some crazy, your family, your husband. You should encourage them to listen to this over. You should encourage your wife and some of your kids and your family to listen to this over because God has his people in a season where he is trying to be merciful, but they have to repent and we have to humble ourselves. And because you're not going to repent if you won't humble yourself. And if they'll do that, say your season has changed. Tell somebody your season will change. Your season will change. Your season will change. You know why you ain't grown? Because you won't change. You know why you're not coming up? Because you won't change. Say, but if you'll do that, your season will. Say, it's time for a change. Say, it's time for a change. I was going to stop, but y'all making me work hard, so I got to keep explaining myself. Go to Isaiah 54. I was about to stop, but I don't want y'all to leave and not understand what I'm saying, so I got to keep going. Say, it's time for a change. You could have been out a long time ago. And he is, and I'm telling you, he's altering things for you. Say, he's talking to me right there. He's talking to me. He's going to put a stop to the devil's attack on you. Mm-hmm. Why? Because there's some things only God can do. See, it's one thing when you are wrong and you're trying to bind the devil. You know what's going to happen, Sister Palmer? Nothing. Do you know what's going to happen, sis, when you're wrong and you're trying to plead the blood? Nothing. But when God says stop, what the devil got to do? I say, when God says stop, what the devil got to do? When God says stop, what does the devil have to do? I say, when God says stop, what the devil got to do? God is telling the devil to stop. Because you can't take much more. I say, God is telling the devil to stop. You can't live like that much more. I say, God is telling the devil to stop. You ready to go right now. You done thought about packing your stuff weeks ago. God is telling the devil to stop. Say, hang on in there, hang on in there, hang on in there. God is telling the devil to stop. Because there's some things you can't do. But why would God stop it? Because he got an invested interest in you. Before the beginning began, God had a word for you. Before your mom and daddy ever thought about you, or maybe they didn't even think about you, but either way, you're here now. God had a plan for you. He had a plan for your arrival. I said God had a plan for your arrival, and he'll make the devil stop to ensure that you don't get killed before your time. That he don't take your mind before you can participate with what God has called you to do. Say, God is telling the devil to stop. Isaiah 54. And this is good because he said, no weapon formed against you going to prosper. How many of you believe that? You go through things. The longer you walk with God, you get a strength. Every deliverance is really about the next time you need deliverance. What do you say? Every time God gets you out, it's about putting something in you to get out the next time. It ain't if you're going to mess up. Some of us are messed up now. But God is, he's providing a way out. He says, every tongue rises up against you in judgment, thou shalt condemn. He says, this is your heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me. What makes you righteous, Sister Sims? What makes you righteous? Your behavior? Huh? You're never going to be righteous enough. What makes you righteous, Sister Rosalind? Being good? You're never going to be good enough. Huh? What makes a person righteous? When God say you're righteous, start acting right. Struggling in your mind, but you're acting right. Want to do something that you don't want to do, but I'm righteous. Say, I'm the righteousness of God. I'm going to act right because I am right. Watch this. Pastor Scott, I'm going to end with this. I'll pick back up the next week. I remember Pastor Scott told his brother he had a problem with smoking. Pastor Scott went home on leave for 30 days. He in the parking lot ministry. He parked the car. He behind that car. Pastor Scott came late that Sunday. He turned that Winston up. On the church parking lot. Just stay with me. I don't care if you smoke or not. Them your lungs. And your teeth. And your breath. But he's smoking that cigarette out front, right? And he done told him to stop smoking. You can't serve and the devil have you bound, and then you openly show that the devil has you bound on church property. So he said, you got 30 days. Saved but not delivered. Like many of us, saved but not delivered. This is going to help you. Say, he helping us. Say, saved but not delivered. Because God been working with us in the dark. You should get this because he don't want to have to let everybody see. You should fix this. So he's working with him, and he tells him, he says, not the whole body. He tells him. He didn't bring him up and prophesy over him. He didn't bring him up, brother, come up here, I'm going to pray over you. None of that. He began to explain to him what I'm explaining right now. That's good, right there. That's your righteousness in God. You're never going to be good enough, but if you'll start thinking that you're righteous, your behaviors will follow that, and then the devil will lose grip over you in unrighteous behavior. He goes home, and he tells him, he said, you got 30 days. When I come back, you better be delivered. He said, you better be done with them cigarettes when I get back. He is 3 weeks into it, 3.5 weeks into it, and he's talking to somebody else. Watch this. He's talking to somebody else about how bad he wants to smoke, but pastor told him that you got a month to get rid of them cigarettes, and he said, hey, brother, hey, you know, sometimes it takes people longer than that. You should be looking at me. He said, sometimes it takes people longer than that sometimes. He said, just prophetic instructions will free you. He done went 3.5 weeks, Sister Lisa, and then somebody say, some people don't get delivered in 30 days. Within a few hours, when Pastor Scott come back, he on cigarettes again. Why did I even bring that out? Why did the Holy Ghost bring it out? Sometimes God have us in the right conditions to deliver us, and we almost into that thing to where we're totally free, and then the devil will put somebody in our place to undo what God has said unto us. Your season is changing, and I ain't talking about no 5 or 6 or 9 months down the line. Some things about to shift in your life. Say almost immediately, I receive that right now. Say almost immediately. I receive that right now. Say, not many days hence, I'll see the glory of the Lord show up in a tangible way that'll not only give me hope, but I'll manifest my faith. Say, it's almost here. I'm not going to let down my guard. I'm not going to fight it. I'm not going to stand the mundane. I'm going to allow God to change me, because he is trying to take me to a place that I never would have went to, never would have thought about. Why? Them little boys should have inspired business in some of you. Because at 12, they done stepped out, and you've been holding on your dream for 12 years. Say, let it out, 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 let it out. Get your hope back in it. Get your faith back in it. Get your behavior associated with it. In essence, do the things necessary, and God going to show up in your life. Tell somebody, don't stand to your feet. Tell somebody, say, God is going to show up in your life. Say, you in a season of change. Say, don't let this get away from you. Man, y'all are the slowest moving Christians ever. Stand up. Y'all got to stretch and zip your Bible and fold your paper and put, not you, mother. I'm talking about the one, not you. I'm talking about these young people. Now give the Lord a hand of praise. Y'all be like, argh. It's time for your change. I mean, some of you have been a brother forever. When are you going to seek God about what you're really supposed to do? I mean, some of us have been deacons and ministers forever. When are we going to seek the Lord about what we really called to do? It's time for a change. I ain't talking about people who got a career path. I'm talking about people just floating around in the unemployment field. It's time for a change, and the change is this time it's going to carry you over to retirement. Say, it's time for a change. I'm talking to people that's in and out of relationships all the time. Not in this church, so it's got to be somebody online because this just popped up my head. But I'm telling you, if you would just separate yourself from everybody, God will let what's supposed to connect to you connect to you. And he never told no woman to find no husband. He never told you to look for nothing. These days, they prepare to propose to men. Say, don't do it. Say, it's time for a change. They are proposed to the man. If you will do it God's way, you're going to experience God's best. Say, it's time for a change. You know why your spouse won't change? Because you won't change. You need to change. You need to change. I'll change when you change. They said, I'll change when you change. I'll change when, that's why you ain't got no change, because you won't go. Say, go first. Yeah, go first. They won't go first, mother. They won't make the initial, it means a lot to them, but they won't make no initial investment. It's like a person who said they want a financial breakthrough, but they won't make the first initial financial investment. There is no return without a seed. You have to invest. Say, it's time for a change. You got to make the initial investment. People won't be nice to me. People won't talk to me. You go first. You change. God keep letting you run into them people because he's saying you not change. Look at me. Because people start messing around when you're in their neighborhood. It's okay. I get it. But you be nice to people. You smile. Turn to nobody. Pull your little mask down because if you're sick, everybody got it anyway. All them kids ain't got no mask on. Smile at them real big and tell them, say, I'ma change first. Tell them again, say, I'ma change first. I'm not going to wait on you. I'm not going to wait on my neighbor. I'ma change first. I want you to experience what change feels like. I'ma change first. I want you to experience and know what change looks like. I'ma change first. I want you to see what it means to live in the abundance. I'ma change first. I'm gonna get my mansion. I'm gonna get my mountain. I'm gonna get my degree. I'ma change first. I'm gonna show you what it means to be a good husband. I'm not gonna wait till you be a good wife. I'ma change first. I'ma be a good wife. I'ma be a submissive wife. I'ma change first. Somebody ought to give the Lord a good hand of praise right there. I'm not going to wait. 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 I'm going to change first. I'm not going to wait for you to praise the Lord. I'm going to praise him first. I need the Lord to make it to me. I'm going to praise him first. I'm going to clap my hands. I'm going to lift my voice. I'm going to shout to the Lord. I'm going to change first. I need the move of the Lord in my life. I'm going to go first. Anybody going to go first? See, we wait on people too much. And the truth of it is, can't nobody mess your change up. They destroy my marriage. Can't nobody destroy your marriage, but lift your hands to the Lord.